Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Guys, what's up? I want to take a quick second to let you guys know that our podcast is supported by Anchor. That's right. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. I'm doing this ad from my phone as we speak. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. Evidently, I can't talk. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Now back to the show.
Hawkeye Nation and Washed Up Walk-Ons fans, welcome back. This is episode 81. All right, we recorded two in one day, so Drake, it wasn't his fault. He said episode 80 in the intro, but it's episode 81. Just take it for what it's worth. Steve Manders joins the show, the Corn Belt Cowboy. He's got one hell of a story. Sit back, relax, have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Wash Up Walk-Ons fans. This is episode 69 plus 11. That equals 80. And I'm back, fuckers. I took a little bit of a hiatus because, well, I had some friends in town. The last time we were supposed to record, we were watching the wild card games. We might have been getting a little bit intoxicated. I won't admit to that or deny that. But then one of my friends had the idea that we should go to Topgolf. And I don't know. Topgolf sounded like a really good idea to me because it was something like 70 degrees in Phoenix, and I was enjoying the sunshine. So, yeah, I screwed up, didn't show up to the last episode, didn't listen because I figured Tyler and Kevin just made a shitty episode. Don't really want to listen to myself get pooped on for 40 minutes, so I'm just going to let that one go unlistened. But guess what? We're back. We've got a guest. I've hit my head with this kid a lot of times. Both of us have lost a shitload of brain cells. Sometimes we drool on ourselves and don't know what day it is. Steve, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, CTE is definitely a thing.
Yeah, that's a strong start to the podcast. CTE.
Second gear, baby. Second gear.
Second gear. Steve Manders, everybody. One of the original, I mean, really, really one of those guys who came in with us when we talk about that class of 37 guys back at 2013.
August
2013. It's 2020. That's 7 years, almost 7 years ago.
It's freaking wild.
Yeah.
Wow.
And what a ride it's been since then. Steve, you were with us, and we'll get there. We're gonna go through the whole story of how you got to Iowa and why we know you and where you're at now.
Oh God!
But you were with us. God. You were with us at Iowa all the way up until January of that last year, right?
Yeah.
That 20.
So everybody's fit. Everybody's fifth year, yeah.
Yep, 2017. Yep. This the spring, I guess, the winter, the turn of the year at 2017. Steve hails from the East Coast, Maryland, to be exact. Yeah. And
give a shout out to the homeland, Steve. Let's hear what you got to say about the East Coast.
I don't really got anything to say, to be honest. I mean, it's the land of pleasant living, but I mean, great state of Iowa is pretty good. So
Steve is a he moved to Iowa, and now he claims Iowa as his home. He's a great friend of ours, and he's gone on a wild journey since the time of Iowa football. And we're going to get into it all. But thanks, Steve, for joining us today. It's something that the fans of the One Called Manders and some fans of the Wash Up Walk-Ons have been waiting for a long time now. And we're glad to have you here.
Steve-O, to get this thing kicked off on the Hawks topic and football and everything, let's talk about our buddy George. What do you think about that whole situation and how this guy went from just being the George at 830 Miller that we hung out with to the greatest tight end walking the planet?
It's kind of weird, right? Like, he was one of us, and now he's just fucking – he's the best tight end.
An absolute superstar.
Yeah, he's literally the best tight end in pro football. Yeah, it was just wild. Like, I just remember, like, just seeing his naked ass running around 830 Miller drinking, like, 8 or 9 fucking Gatorade protein shakes, farting up a storm, and playing fucking Halo. And then now he's, you know – I mean, he didn't have that big of a game yesterday, but, I mean, guys
– a dub's a dub.
Yeah, dub's a dub, man. I mean, they're going to the NFC Championship game.
Blue, cool. Do you remember those epic Halo nights with George?
Steve brings up an incredible – I mean, I forgot all about it. Steve just brought up an incredible fact that I don't remember. I think we might have brought it up on podcast, the first one we did with George last year, very briefly. There was a time where Kevin at the old Benton house had his old Xbox 360 out in our living room. And we had Halo 3, and we didn't touch it a lot. There's not a lot of use that got out of that. But there was a period of, like, I want to say a week and a half or 2 weeks. Was it during, like, a bowl prep?
You know, I don't even remember when it was, but I just remember, like, 2 weeks straight, like, we just played, like, Halo 3, like, every night.
George would just randomly come over. And I wouldn't say that at the time Kevin and I were even the, like, I mean, we're always been good buddies with George, but it's not like, you know, he was buddies with you, Steve, and CJ, and a bunch of guys that he lived with. He would come over and all of a sudden just play.
He was a huge Halo nerd, though.
We would set up matches like rockets and snipers only.
Gravity to 50%, move speed to 300%.
And George, I was trash. George would really, he would beat us up pretty bad. Kevin got one every once in a while, but yeah, Steve. Actually, let's talk about it. We'll get through your story, but how did the talk about the relationship that George and you built at Iowa, how that started, and what it's like, what it's been since then?
Obviously, it's got to do with fucking being on the football team, but, like, definitely got close with partying. I mean, that's for sure a thing.
You got any good stories, Steve? Any good non-incriminating stories?
Yeah, you're not giving anything away, because we talked about it with George last time, how he made his switch in his career basically after Pat told him to stop partying and drinking so much.
I mean, I remember that story, just like with when Pat said that, and I think we went out or whatever, and this was like, God, this was like our junior year, I think.
It would have been.
And like.
Yeah.
No.
Sophomore year.
It was our redshirt sophomore
year. That was before the 2015 season, yeah.
Yeah. It was before the Rose Bowl year. And I just remember I was sitting on his couch, right? Because after a night of, we were having fun. And he was just like, fuck, man, I got to get my life together kind of thing. So I remember, like, that day, and then that spring ball. He had a hell of a spring ball. And then we had a hell of a year, right? I mean, we went 12-2.
We had the year.
And that was kind of the building blocks for that. I'm trying to think of, like, crazy, crazy, crazy stories. Probably the spring break trips where we, like, went to Corpus Christi or Gulf Shores, Alabama, and we saw a dude throw a lofting chair off 20 floors. That was pretty wild.
Jesus Christ.
It would have been insane if he was riding the chair for the whole 20 stories. That would have made it for an even wilder story.
It would have been a while. Or he like hit somebody.
Dude, he would have hit that concrete and it would have sounded like a fucking wrecking ball.
And obviously, Steve, the relationship blossomed over wrestling, which is your life now, and WWE.
Talk to us about the WWE fucking WrestleMania that you guys went to.
Oh God, that was was it 2 years ago? Yeah, we went to the New Orleans one for the first time, and dude, we were in the fourth row, man. Out of all places, like we were thinking, like yeah, we'll be in the middle somewhere, like up top or whatever, and. Like one of the, I guess, video dudes for the 49ers was like, yeah, no, I got you in the fourth row. And we were like, what the fuck? So we're sitting in the fourth row. And then all the McMahon family, which if anybody knows who the McMahons are, those are the people that created WWE.
And the XFL.
You
know, people have probably heard of the McMahons.
Yeah, crickets on the XFL. But like all their family was in front of us. And I was knowing me, right? I was hitting on fucking this MILF or whatever.
Respect.
And I didn't realize that it was the Big Show's wife. So that was cool.
Wow.
Still respect, because you can outrun the Big Show. At the end of the day.
Maybe. I don't know, man.
Big Show actually has cut down a little bit and he's gotten pretty athletic.
Yeah, I think he'd catch me my slowest.
Listen, yeah. Dude, if the Big Show at like 50-something years old, after all he's done to his body, can still chase you down, then you deserve to get your ass whooped by the Show.
What I think people would pay to see a pay-per-view conditioning 10:55 session with Steve and the Big Show just out on the practice fields at Iowa running 55s.
Oh, see, I can do that. If you said shuttles, I'd be fucked.
Yeah, I was going to say, how about we make it quarters and we just put them through a four-quarter?
Yikes. All right.
You know, I've like wondered that now, like, because like I work out all the time and shit like that. I just like wonder like if I could ever do those quarters again.
Well, you probably don't work out like that.
Yeah.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, I always wonder.
It's a specific type of shape.
I'm never going to find out. I won't ever bend over to touch a line again.
Well, good, Drake.
Kev, any thoughts?
What? Quarters? Don't miss them. Don't miss them one bit.
I like your collared shirt, Kevin.
Oh, well, thanks, Drake.
Cut 85.
Kevin, I was just complimenting you.
Well, if I said, all right, thank you.
So, Steve. Obviously, a little bit of a history with George, and we'll probably talk about it more on the story, but let's get back to the beginning. You're 17, 18 years old. You attended a prep school out in the East. And actually played with a couple guys who are pretty damn good. Christian Hackenberg being one of them.
Ended up being a total washout, but he was a hell of a high school quarterback.
He was an incredible high school
quarterback. Slap dick after that. I'm pretty sure I could have thrown for more yards at Penn State.
I don't know about that.
Or the Jets,
yeah. How did the Iowa connection start? What was the first time? What was the first thing that introduced you to Iowa? I know at the time Coach Reed was big in that.
Yeah, he was.
And talk about the recruiting and how Steve Manders found his way to Iowa City.
So I was at Fork Union, right? And that was it's a prestigious place, but also a very disciplined place, which kind of sucked. You weren't allowed to have like phones and all that kind of stuff because you were focused on your task to be a Division I athlete. So pretty wild. It's not real life. Like Fork Union is Charlottesville, Virginia, which is where the University of Virginia is. It's not far at all. So Jim Reed was always there. I think I saw Jim Reed like twice a week, like literally. Wow. It was crazy. Yeah, it was pretty crazy. And then I was gonna walk on there, which is pretty wild. That'd be wild if I went there instead. Fucking way different. But he got fired or whatever because Virginia had a bad year, and we always kept in contact because me and Jim Reed were pretty close and at the time. And then he was just like, he got hired at Iowa, and you know, Iowa runs a two back system, and that's what I wanted to play. I didn't want to play linebacker because
wait, you, wait, But when you came here, you started as a linebacker, right?
Yeah, I'll tell you a story about that one too. But we'll get to that. But yeah, so that was basically it. He was like, you know, what do you think about Iowa? And knowing me, right, like I'm down for anything. So I'm always into the journey stuff. So I was like, all right, yeah, let's do it. And then I, you know, did a visit and stuff and absolutely loved it, which was funny because my mom used to always tell me when I was a kid, you're a Midwest kid at heart. Didn't get it at the time, but I get it now. And yeah, man, that's kind of how it happened. And then what Kev said, I was a linebacker. The reason why I was a linebacker is because Jim Reed was scared if I was with Coach White or Coach Davis, they would eat me alive, which I don't know what that means, but
I don't know.
Well, you just fit into that good mold that we have of taking slow linebackers and making them fullbacks, right, Drake?
And I'll tell you what, I'll tell you a story about Manders. I was still playing linebacker at the time and getting very few reps. And Manders was playing fullback, and we were in Kinnick. I don't remember what the occasion was, whether it was just a spring practice or whatever. Manders and I ran a B play against each other, and he flatlined me. I mean, he hit me so fucking hard, dude. I didn't get hit like that in high school.
I wonder if we
could. I was bigger than everybody in high school. Manders hit me so hard. I was on my back, and I was pretty embarrassed.
I wonder if we could dig up the film on that.
I don't know. You might be able
to. Dude, I forgot all.
We got to hit up Marty so you can find that film.
To this day, I still think about that sometimes, and I got fucking steamrolled in Kinnick by you.
It was the first true Kinnick pile driver that's the one called Manders ever laid down on somebody. And so you started out, it's a similar story. Drake ran the path. A lot of other people ran the path. When did you get moved over to fullback? Who kind of initiated that? And what did you think about that at the time?
So I was doing all the linebacker stuff, right? Wasn't getting many reps. I mean, I kind of knew, like, my place, right? Because we had some stud linebackers, man. We had John Kinney at the time who was good. We had Josie Jewell, Bo Bauer.
Neiman had come in.
Yeah, Neiman had come in. Like, there's just so
Travis,
many.
And then,
like,
Fish.
Obviously, the main guys, like, you had Hitch, Kirksey, James Moore stuff. But, yeah, I remember they were like, I think – I'm trying to remember the fullback's name. He got hurt. It wasn't Plev or Cox or Mark or anything. It was
right? His name's
Yeah.
Brad.
Fuck. No,
what? Who the no. fuck are you guys talking about?
No, it was.
This is like freshman year.
Was it?
He went to Regina.
Yeah,
he went to Regina. He went to North Dakota State.
He was bald.
And then
Oh, the freight train, bro.
Yeah, he was good.
Oh, shit. He was good. He did me the same way in the indoor facility one time. Absolutely flatlined me. I didn't know I had a heartbeat after he hit me.
Boys, what was his name?
I was a true freshman.
I'm drawing a blank.
It wasn't like, it was like with a G. Grimm.
Berkeley Grimm.
No.
Grimm.
Berkeley Grimm.
Yeah, he never played. What are you talking about?
But in practice.
Okay. Well, anyway, in practice, though, I'm saying in practice, though, he was always hurt a lot, so he got hurt, and this was bowl prep for LSU, and they were like, hey, you know, how about you play fullback? And I was like, well, he fucking beats playing D-line on scout team, so I might as well do it. I was like, absolutely, this is opportunity, you know, and I was running in there. I didn't give a shit. I was smacking, you know, three of the dudes that are in the NFL or two of them that are in the NFL, they're pro bowlers. And that's kind of where I got the ball rolling. And then spring ball, I thought I'd be at fullback, and that never happened. And then I think, like, Plevin Cox got hurt or whatever, so they, like, needed, like, that third fullback or whatever. And, like, Coach White was like, fucking Manders, get over
Manders,
here.
You're in.
And then that's kind of what happened.
Linebackers moving to fullback, and fullback's getting hurt. It's a tale as old as time.
It's just
it's
just something you can bet on. It's like death, taxes, and fullbacks bodies
not making it out of their careers in one piece, or with any brain cells.
And then from there, so then you're really in the shit, Steve. Like at that point, where you know you're a year into the program, and talk about that time. You're now a fullback, kind of second, third string. And then I think somewhere along that line, Drake makes the same transition. I don't know if it was before or after you.
I think it was like the end of that spring ball and then into the fall camp, if I remember correctly.
It was just in camp. Coach Reed pretty much gave me no option. Right. He just gave me a bunch of reps one day at linebacker, and I actually did well. And then after practice, like, yeah, I was just putting you on film because I'm trying to get you some film so when you move over to fullback. And I'm like, oh, all right, cool. Well, I thought I did pretty well, but thanks, Dick.
Wow. Thanks, Dick. But talk about that moment. So that was, I don't know if that was year two, I guess. And then
that was year two. Yeah.
So you're looking at 2014 summer, 2014 camp, then to that 2017. Talk about those 2.5, 3 years at Iowa, what they meant to you, what you learned, kind of how those formed and shaped the guy that you are today. Cause those are three really big years in a player's life, and especially moving forward past football.
For sure.
Talk about it.
You guys knew how hard that first year was.
Hard.
Like not even just,
we've talked about it a lot on the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not even just football, man. Just adapting and changing, you know, you're changing from a young high school kid or a young man into a big man or strong man or whatever you want to call it.
And a young adult.
Yeah, exactly. And like, God, man, that was hard. Like for me, like, you know, I thought like, oh, you know, Fork Union, I did that. I could do anything. And I was fucking way wrong. And like, I had a hard time with school for like the first 2 years.
Yep.
Which doesn't help, right? Especially when you're a walk-on, like you're supposed to be this like perfect human being.
GPA and, boosters.
And I definitely was not that. I mean, C's get degrees, I guess, but I mean, that was pretty tough. And then just also too, I wasn't in the best shape, and Doyle was ripping my ass, and
that's never good. That's the worst right there. That's the worst one. You can forget the grades and the position coaches and everything, bro. Doyle's on your ass.
The worst one.
Steve, you bring up a time where you and I got pretty familiar with each other because I've said it on the podcast earlier in my career, those first 2 years, 13, 14, they weren't the best for me academically either. I didn't experience, to me at least, I felt like I transitioned into that college life well. Like I felt like I was handling it pretty good. But in reality, it only felt like I was handling it well because I was just getting by. I was doing just enough.
I was going to say, Kluver, I've never met anybody in the first year that cared less about school.
Right. Yeah. And I remember being in the same situation, and Steve and I had conversations because we were in the same class. We were both a walk-on, like physically and looks-wise, like me and Steve, if you took a couple guys that looked the same on the team, we looked similar. Like we were fighting the same battle. We're trying to find, you know, I was very fortunate to have Casey who just left, and I kind of stepped into a spot, but Steve and I were both last in conditioning reps.
If we were doing a police lineup, you guys would be in the same one.
Yeah, we'd be in the same lineup.
And
Steve and I would be two of the last guys to cross the line in conditioning. And there was a couple times where it was me and Steve kind of getting each other through 60-yard shuttles or getting each other through those conditioning sessions. And we were just looking at each other. Steve, I remember.
Listen, man, when your legs are short, your skin is white, your ankles are thick, and some of these guys at the University of Iowa America are really athletic, not me, but guys like Kevin who just absolutely massacre conditioning times. Yeah. Like, you know, sometimes us thick ankle, broke leg, white guys, we struggle.
I remember, I mean, I distinctly remember.
Score one for the skinny ankles.
I distinctly remember, you know, Doyle isn't shy in conditioning. Doyle will call you out if you're last across the line.
Doyle called me Barney Rubble for the entire last year of my career because I ran with a gimp after I broke my leg right in fucking front of him.
Yeah,
I mean, oh my god, I forgot all about that.
Doyle,
God.
Doyle isn't gonna fucking. He's not gonna hold back. And during conditioning, in front of the entire 120 man roster in the summer, a lot of times in those first couple years, the names that were getting called out were Kluver and Manders. Like that was the two names.
Yeah, and I gotta lie, like. At the time, it's like, man, this sucks. But now, like, because he did that stuff, right? Like, it applies to life where, like, dude, you better do your shit or somebody's going to call your ass out. Yep.
But nothing's as bad. It's also
that. Yeah, nothing's as bad as that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Nothing's as bad as that.
Nobody, like, no matter who it is in my life forever, I'm never going to give as much of a shit about somebody's opinion as I did and still do reasonably for Coach Doyle, because if Coach Doyle were to send me a text and be like, hey, I think you need to hear this, it would be something I would listen to. No doubt.
Absolutely.
About it. But yeah, without a doubt. Like, because of how much we cared and how much we valued Doyle's opinion and how much we wanted to be like a gold star student in his eyes, nobody's words will ever sting like those words.
No one, nobody. But yeah, I mean that first year was really tough. First couple years were really tough. I think one summer one summer I hurt my back really bad and no one kind of like believed me, which was weird. But then I found out I had like a pretty big L5S1 hernia and shit like that, bulging disc or whatever, and like that kind of fucked me a lot too. And I didn't make it to camp that year. And then I think after that, I was just like, you know what, no matter what day it is, I don't care if I'm tired, broken, beaten, blah, blah, blah. I'm just going to have a hell of a practice. That's my game day. And that kind of built the mold of kind of like a lot of the times for me hitting the road, being a pro wrestler is just like that kind of stuff. So I think that was the Rose Bowl year. But that time though, specifically for the next 2 years for me were way better days, way better days.
For a lot,
even if I didn't play a lot, that doesn't matter. Like as long as I was there with the boys, whooping ass, taking names. And I was doing better in conditioning. I was doing better with that. I was doing better with school. I was doing better with real life. I was doing better with Doyle. And just, yeah.
Things got better. When you stick it out, things get better. Which
grit is something that really does help you in every aspect of your life. Like that Doyle didn't make us do a lot of bullshit. Some of the book clubs I kind of got tired of, no lie. But when Doyle,
because we don't like reading.
Yeah, seriously, because I don't read. I can't read. I might as well be dyslexic. but what I was about to say, he had made a big point about the grit scale and how grit was a huge measurement about who's going to be successful. And now just kind of moseying through life and having time to observe other people and seeing how much everybody lacks grit. It's like no surprise that once you get out of Iowa football, life seems easy because all these other mouth breathers are just fucking gritless.
Dude, it's true. It's so true.
That's one way to put it.
So true.
Which brings us to, we worked through those years. The 2015 season happens, incredible season. We go through the 2016 season, and we go back to the Outback Bowl, right, Steve-O?
Yeah, back to the Outback Bowl.
I think it was played in 2017. Technically, it was like the first, I believe. And
yeah, it was. Yeah, it was
the night of the bowl game.
Yeah.
Just so happens to be that WWE is in Tampa.
Yeah, and Monday Night Raw was wild.
And so we had known that pretty far out. And Steve, you've been a big WWE wrestling fan your whole life. There were multiple times where we went over to George's house and watched WrestleMania in like 20.
That one night in the apartment where they had the mattress on the floor and that apartment was packed for WrestleMania. That one was pretty sick.
So there was a lot of moments where we knew from the time in the dorms when everybody would give you shit that the WWE it's like, dude, it's fake. Like no one understood your love for WWE and you never wavered. And I kind of expressed interest. And that's kind of how we became friends in the first place. Steve is like, I was like, dude,
very true.
I like the WWE. Like I'll watch Roman Reigns throw people down all day.
You're the only guy, man.
Yeah.
One of them.
Yeah. At least in our class that really took a real interest in it.
Drake liked it too. Because Drake likes
comics. Man, I like the old stuff. It was the nostalgia for me. I hate all this new media bullshit. It's just not for me.
I ain't gonna lie to you, I don't like it either.
When it was the WWF, I played all the video games. I watched all the shit. I did not miss WWF. And then a little transition into the WWE, I was a huge Rey Mysterio guy, DX, yeah. Suck it. You know, that shit is absolute. Yeah. When they blew Vince McMahon's fucking limo up and Vince McMahon was just dead for like 6 months. Are we joking? That is the television I'm here for, folks. I'm not here for the fucking Miz getting up and sitting on his stool and riding his dildo. I'm just not in for it.
I ain't gonna lie to you guys. I don't really watch like Monday Night Raw anymore.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard. It's kind of hard.
Yeah.
It's not because of like, you know, you got to work and stuff and you wrestle too, but like, it's been real shitty lately. It hasn't been very good. And I get tired of watching it. I'm just like, man, this is the same song and dance.
But
so I get tired.
But anyway, we get to the point where we played our game and all of a sudden I think, yeah, it was Monday Night Raw was in, was in Tampa. And George was going. He's like, yeah, we're going to Monday Night Raw. Your dad was there.
Yep.
It was you. I don't know why. Claire was supposed to go. Claire ended up not going. And so.
Because look at the lineup.
Yeah. And okay, so then.
How much fun is she going to
right.
have?
And so then George kind of like looked at me like as we were sitting at the hotel. He goes, Clue, you coming with us to WWE tonight? And I was like, I absolutely am. And so. Funny story, I actually bought George like a $7 beer that night because I didn't want to drink and I felt bad for not drinking with the three of them. So I was like, here, George, I'll buy you a beer to make you happier. So,
oh, I love
there you it. Go. But right after that, you had gotten in contact with Big E, who was at one point. Well, not at one point.
God, that was yeah.
He still is a Hawkeye brother, former Iowa football player,
and an absolute unit.
Just a unit of a human. His real name is Tore Ewan or something like that.
Tore Ewan. Yep.
And known as Big E in the ring. Talk about your intro to wrestling. How you found him. Talk about, you know, finding the Black and the Brave with Seth Rollins and then your intro into the pro wrestling world.
Yeah. So there was no, hiding that I loved pro wrestling. Everybody kind of knew that. It's actually that 2015 year was like really what made me like really, really get back into it. Cause like, that's when the network for WWE launched, which was kind of a big deal at the time. Because, you know, everybody's doing on-demand stuff now because no one really watches, you know, cable TV anymore. I fucking don't.
True.
Yeah, it's because it sucks ass.
That is expensive. And then, so with that, right, I mean, I could watch anything I wanted, right? So I was watching stuff like with Sting and the old WWF days with Steve Austin flipping off Vince McMahon and telling him to kiss his ass and drinking beer and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
See, that's my WWE right there.
Yeah, and that's my kind of shit too, and I love that stuff. And
when you know what? This is the day I stopped watching. The day that I stopped watching is when John Cena's finishing move and submission move
got changed. Yeah, that was tough.
That was it. That was it for me. I'm out. It's the FU and the STFU. And if you don't like that, suck it.
Yep. Now we got to make it PG. But yeah, those, like that whole 2015 years is when, like the whole network stuff came back. I started watching it a lot. And then that's when, like, you know, Cox and Pleva and the old, that old house would watch stuff with me, Travis Perry. And then Doozy would come over, and then Kluver would come over, Drake would come over. And then obviously I would be at George's house and we'd watch it too. When all those, yeah, that's kind of when, that's kind of all that happened. And then, I think it was going into summer. So we were going to have our break or whatever before our summer hard ass fucking training. Coach Doyle at the time was like, hey, Big E's going to be here. Cause I guess WWE had a Des Moines taping for SmackDown or whatever. And I was like, man, get the fuck out of here. Like, he ain't coming. And then he was like, yeah, he is, dude. He's going to be here tomorrow at 1 o'clock. I promise. And I was like, wait, are you serious? And he's like, absolutely, he'll be here. And I was like, all right, I think my final's at like 10. And it was like some like easy final or whatever. I was like, all right, yeah, I'll come over. And then, you know, I walk in the facility. I walk in those big-ass doors. And I walk right in, and there's this large-ass refrigerator. And it's fucking
with two massive tits on him.
Dude. He's got the bench record for D-line still, doesn't he?
Yes, I believe so.
Probably does. It's
no surprise, dude. That guy is a unit. Yep.
Yeah. It blew my mind, like the story of how they recruited him.
In fact, I know for a fact he still has the record because on the board, the specialist record is right beneath the D-line record. And I have my name was on the bench for specialist.
Oh, this is just a little subtle brag. Fucking
gotta throw it in there.
Suck
your own dick.
It was Big E, and then right there was me. So that's how I know is because I broke a specialist bench record. But anyway,
thank you, Chris D'Elia. Can we move on?
Hey guys. Yep, it's me again. Got to interrupt the episode real quick to talk to you guys about Spotify. One of the sponsors of this podcast. On Spotify, you can listen to all your favorite artists and podcasts in one place for free. You don't even need a premium account. Spotify has a huge catalog of podcasts on every topic, including the one you're listening to right now. Yeah, we're on Spotify. I don't know how we did that, but pretty cool. Other things you can do on Spotify is follow your favorite podcast so you never miss an episode. Premium users can download episodes to listen to offline wherever you are, and you can easily share what you're listening to with your friends on Instagram. If you haven't done so already, be sure to download the Spotify app. Search for Washed Up Walk-Ons on Spotify or browse podcasts in the Your Library tab. Also, make sure to follow us so that you never miss an episode of the Washed Up Walk-Ons.
Oh, God. But yeah, so just being there and he was there and he was just like, we were just shooting the shit, and I was just asking questions. I was trying not to be a mark. And
explain a mark for the people who don't know.
It's just like, it's basically like just being a fan.
Yeah.
Like just not hounding the guy. That's a pretty good story too about what a mark is. But anyway, and he was just like talking, and he was just like, you know, there's a pro wrestling school like in Davenport, and I was like, really? And you know, it's only 45 minutes from Iowa City or so. And then he was like, yeah, it's Seth Rollins's place. And I was like, holy shit, I forgot Seth Rollins is actually from Davenport, Iowa. And if anybody doesn't know who Seth Rollins is, he's like the current, or he's like one of the top three dudes in WWE right now. And, he's been the top three forever.
For like 5 years. Last, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, listen. So there's a ranking of importance in the Quad City area, and so we're gonna start low on the totem pole, and we're gonna go with Jake Gervais. He makes the totem pole, but he's quite low on it. Then one step up the ladder, we're gonna go Gervais's cousin Willie Argo, because that guy.
Wow. Hilarious.
Willie Argo.
One more step up the totem pole. This is a bit of a tall totem pole. One more step up the totem pole. You've got your guy Seth. Then one step up the totem pole from that, you've got Pat Anger. Okay. So we're gonna have, or we've already had the Quad City legend of all legends on the podcast. So,
but Seth is right there.
Seth should, yeah. I mean, he's right here. Where's he at? Steve, get with your guy. Get with your guy and let him know that your other guys want to have a chat.
I can do that.
Oh Jesus!
I play Madden. I play. So if anybody doesn't know this, Seth Rollins like loves Madden, and we play Madden quite a bit. So
hell yeah!
I'll see what I can do there. See what I can do there.
But anyway, you meet Seth.
But yeah, that's kind of and then that's kind of how it happened. So that with Big E like telling me about it really got in my ear.
He planted the seed.
He planted the seed, and I was like, you know, I'm just gonna just wait how life goes, right? I mean, eventually, I don't know if this is my last year playing at Iowa, or am I gonna wait 2 years and then do it again, that kind of thing. And then I think a lot of it was because Coach White was gonna be around. I'm not gonna lie, so that kind of pissed me off. And Drake knows this. We didn't like each other very much.
Talk just, your shit, Steve.
Nah, it's just we didn't. I mean, I'll just be an adult about it. We just didn't agree on a lot of stuff, and I don't know. I just kind of saw the writing on the wall, kind of thing. You know, I'll just say Drake was better. We also had this guy at the time who's now, you know, Drake said it on Twitter the other day, probably one of the best fullbacks to ever come out of Iowa, and I'll fucking say it all day long. I don't give a fuck. They, you know, we were also grooming this guy named Brady fucking Ross.
He walked in the door.
We fucking said it. I remember, like, I think is when he transitioned into fullback, and we were both sitting next to each other, and I was like, dude, that's the guy.
Well, it's because
like
he was killing people on special teams and running backs. Dude.
He walked in the door and hit harder than everybody. Yeah.
Everybody.
He was this freight train that didn't stop. Yeah. He knocked me out in a Wednesday practice, right? It was the very last play of Wednesday practice. We did kick return, and then I walked to the sideline and sat on my thumb until Coach Ferentz called it up, right? Yeah. This was the end of practice, the very last play. Smooth, you know, when somebody hits you and it goes bing and you just fall down. That was me. That I was in bing mode.
I actually don't know.
The last play of Wednesday practice, and I wanted to fight Brady so bad. Like, I went in the locker room just spewing F-bombs at
Brady.
Him,
Brady came in, and
I was not cool with Brady for weeks.
Yeah, Brady came in and honestly pissed a lot of people off. He was making the older guys.
He pissed everybody.
He was making the older guys.
Everybody hated the blonde Butters, but then when Butters became Brady Ross, then it was like, oh shit, who is this grown man? And then he's Brady Ross.
Yeah, and like, yeah, and that's kind of what it was, and then. I don't know. I think I was just like, I was like, I'm still getting my degree, and I was transitioning through life a little bit. I had a girlfriend at the time, and then just was like, I think for the 24 years of me doing this, I think I gave it all I got to a degree, and I'm okay with not playing ever again. And that, it kind of sucked. It was kind of hard because like you step away from all your boys, right? And your fifth year and stuff like that. And, I mean, KF understood, but I don't think Doyle did. So me and Doyle for a while didn't like each other. But, when he found out I was doing wrestling and I was doing all right with it, I think we started, I mean, we text all the time now, but we started bringing back that relationship. So yeah, that's kind of what happened. But yeah, so I guess we go back to that 2016 after the Outback Bowl, which Drake did. I mean, not Drake. What Kluver didn't even say was, fucking Seth Rollins and a couple of the WWE dudes were at the game.
Oh yeah,
we got our ass beat.
Yep, Seth and because Titus O'Neil actually played for Florida, right?
And, that's a big ass dude.
And so he's in the WWE, and he's a monster. And so Seth and Titus were both at the game, plus a couple other guys. And they came to the game.
I think Big E was there too.
They were down on the field, while we were warming up, and then we went and saw them later that night. So it was kind of funny. Steve, real quick, Kev has to go be a real world person and fly to, I don't know, where are you going, Kevin? Kevin's been here the whole time.
I don't even know. I just go where they tell me to.
Okay.
And he doesn't even work. He just drinks on Stryker's budget and shakes hands with more important people. Don't let him fool
flirts
you.
Flirts with nurses. That's all he does.
It's a very important job.
Okay? I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Somebody's got to do it. I'm not hating on you for doing it. I just don't want Kluver to make it seem like it's too important.
Kev, any last words for the one called Manders?
Manders, man, it's been a hell of a ride, dude. It's been fun to watch you kind of blow up as a wrestler, too. Man, I miss it. I miss the Hillcrest days. I miss hanging out with you, dude. Whenever you're in Iowa City, man, you gotta let me know.
I'll tell you what, the only dude who's selling more shirts than the Wash Up Walk-Ons is our guy Steve Manders.
Oh God. I don't know about that.
That was my
intro to you plugging your merchandise, Steve.
Manders, cornbelt cowboy t-shirt.
I got my t-shirt in the cupboard, but shit, I'm not gonna be able to get it.
You want some cornbelt cowboy? If you want some cornbelt cowboy merch, just hit me up on DM me on Twitter or Instagram @onecalled_Manders, and I'll respond because I'm a millennial. I'm always on my fucking phone, so
buy his merch.
My
man.
Work.
He's got.
It's my work. So yeah, I would love that.
All right, Steve, man, it was good catching up with you. I gotta go catch flights, not feelings. 2020.
I love that. What an outro, Kevin!
Unbelievable.
Oh my
gay warden, baby.
That's insanity. Anyway,
what a fucking
boss. Yeah. So.
Hold on. Before we get any further into this episode, I got to take it back. Is a mark massage?
No.
Okay.
Any players who listen. No. So a mark, Drake, a mark is basically like me, if I were to go to like a WWE event and I saw like Seth and all them and I'm like standing there with my like number one foam finger and all that. I'm like just a big like fan. Like I'm in awe. Like when they walk by, like that's a mark. Like being
I thought you were just referring to the weird guy that was obsessed with Iowa athletes and gave cheap massages to touch their buttholes. Okay.
Well, we're gonna have to talk about that on a separate podcast. Anyway, that's not
you
what
get that in wrestling too.
So where were we? Steve, Drake, and
Outback.
Yeah,
football.
Yep, Drake and Butters. They kind of were ahead of you on the depth chart. You made a decision. You're like, all right, I'm gonna be done with football. Outback Bowl. Yeah. The wrestlers are at the game. Then we go to the wrestling event that night. And where does it go from there?
Yeah. So like after that, right?
First of all, we were on Big E's tickets that night. Big E got us the tickets.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. We. So I messaged him quite a bit too. He actually texted me the other day, which was kind of cool. But we'll talk about that later. But yeah. So like after that, right? You get like a 2-week break normally, you know, because college is cool. But I decided to stay in Iowa because 2 days later I was training to be a pro wrestler. So after 2 days after the Outback Bowl, I kind of had a bum hammy because I was doing a block or whatever and like kind of jacked up my hammy. I did 2 days later, you know, I'm in Davenport, Iowa and trained to be a wrestler, and it was kind of like a hell day kind of thing. It was like where they kind of see if you really want to be one. And then, you know, we bring back the mindset of if fucking Coach Doyle, if I can do his training, I can do anything. And that was for sure what it was. And it was easy as shit. I mean, it sucked, but it was easy. A lot of people quit, which I was kind of mind blown. And then, I think the next day we did, hit the ropes and you know, bump and stuff. And I remember my first bump, I was like, yeah, dude, I could totally do this. Cause it kind of reminded me of, you know, being a fullback running and hitting somebody in the fucking face.
And, yeah. That's exactly what those hard shoulder checks off the ropes look like. It looks like a B play and it was Drake versus Manders in 2000.
I will say that the ropes suck. Hitting the ropes suck because the ropes are mostly on the independent scene is like cable wire. So it's like cable wire with like a hose, like a little inch hose maybe. Yikes. And dude, my back was black and blue. So it's like it's almost like like your body's not a callus yet, and then like you just start like getting used to it, kind of thing. It's just like when you work out or you play guitar or whatever. It was kind of like that. So it was kind of weird seeing all these weird bruises on your body that you never seen before in those places. So yeah, I think just that, and like after that, I was like, man, I could see myself doing this. And then you just go through the process.
You started obviously small, like no one starts on the big stage in Tampa in front of in front of 20,000 wrestling Seth Rollins. Your first, I remember, dude. I mean, I've been following. I've been following. I text you every once in a while.
Yeah, man.
I mean, you did some shows now that were. I mean, you were going to like some county fairs where there was like 12 people watching. You did,
yeah, make like $5
and like right. Some free food. Yeah, I mean, you've been through the shit. You've done the grind. I mean, there were times where I was like, wow, I cannot believe he's this committed.
Me too.
I cannot believe he's this committed. Yeah. I followed you on Instagram. I followed you on, we were Snapchat friends, and you would post like where you were wrestling. Brother, I swear I saw a couple shows where I don't know if anyone was watching two guys wrestle each other in a ring, but you were there, man. And you were,
but I also saw shows in like these little arenas that were just packed to the walls, and it actually looked like a pretty live ass time. Like these were the most redneck people. Like if you pulled everybody out of Alabama and like Mississippi, you still live in the slavery days, and you just put them all in a room. Like that was how redneck this place was.
Yeah.
But it looked like
sketchy
a good
places,
ass.
Man. There were some sketchy places for sure. Yeah. There's still some sketchy places.
I'm sure.
Like going to GCW. Like, so GCW is Game Changer Wrestling, and it's definitely the hottest independent wrestling company in the world. Like they're going to Japan for the second time the next month, and they sell out in Corrigan Hall, which is like a legendary place. But dude, there's some fucking backwoods, like degenerate ass people, and it's the funnest time ever.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of what wrestling is, though. Like, wrestling's like the lowest form of entertainment, sadly. But I mean, dude, if it's cool, man, it's cool. So I have fun with it.
And so you've built that, you've gone from, you know, what we talked about it, Walcott, before the.
Yeah.
And that's where.
Making $5.
Yep. George and I drove 40 minutes to Walcott one night to watch, like, I want to say like your sixth or seventh show that you had ever done, early. And
I think that was the night when I graduated.
It might have been. And
yeah, that was a good day.
And you,
I'll tell you what, the night that we went to, what was it called in West Branch?
Wildwood.
Oh, yeah. When we went to Wildwood at West Branch, that was a fun time.
That was like Hawkamania 1. Yeah, because
you won Hawkamania the cup,
one.
Right?
Yeah, it was Hawkamania 1.
Yeah.
So yeah. Manners won. They basically, because you grew and you became one of the faces of the, you know, the area's independent wrestling. Yeah. They used you and the former, you know, kind of what we talked about, the former Hawkeye, and turned it into Hawkamania. And it was you, and they got anger involved at some point, and now that you're like, I don't know, like 13 or 14 Hawkamanias deep.
Yeah, dude, we're about to have 15 here day after Valentine's Day.
Wow.
Just kind of wild.
That is.
So if you're in the Iowa City area and you want to go support your local independent wrestling, man, it's actually a really fun time. They got good beer.
February 15th, man.
And you will see some pretty fun wrestling. I enjoyed myself.
And you've gone from those county fairs out in like underneath a tree behind the Ferris wheel to
somewhere in Iowa. Yes, we don't even know what
somewhere in Iowa to now you are. We'll talk about it. I mean, you know it better than anybody. You're still, I mean, it's still a grind for sure. You're traveling,
doing
4 or 5 shows a week sometimes, I know. But
you've
gotten a little, you know, you stepped it up a little bit. I know you've gone out to the East Coast and done back where you're kind of from. I know you've gone down to Nashville. You've gone down to, I think, Atlanta. I think you've done.
Yeah.
I know you go. You've been a lot out in Ohio. You've done. I mean, talk about it.
Yeah. I let's see. When I first started, I was doing the white meat baby face, like generic oh, it's the Hawkeye Steve Manders yep. like kind of thing, and which was a good starting point because that kind of it's kind of what I was, right? Sure. Technically. And you always gotta adapt, right, and evolve and like add extra layers and create a persona. I think being the Hawkeye Steve Manders was like just a good stepping stone. And then you just got to wrestle, right? You got to wrestle the circuit, and then you're wrestling all over Iowa, and then you're like, okay, well, let's go outside of Iowa. And then you go to Illinois, and then, you know, it's always wanting more, right? It's that journey, or like, I guess, treasure hunt, I guess. Eventually I stepped into this place called IWA Mid-South, which in the wrestling community is like kind of the gatekeeper of like, if you want to be something in wrestling, that's kind of where you start. And all the guys on TV, whether it's AEW, NXT, SmackDown, or Raw, like at least fucking 90% of those guys were once there. And it's in, you know, Kentuckiana, right? Redneck city, maybe 50 people. And you're like, these are real people. Like these backwood hicks drinking Mountain Dew and they only have one tooth. And like, God, man, like, this is where AJ Styles or Seth Rollins or all these guys started. Like, you gotta be kidding me. Like, at the time my girlfriend like did not understand at all. Like, right. Why you had to drive 6 hours for $10 to fucking, to for nobody.
Right.
And I was like, trust me, it's going to be worth it. And that was the other thing too. Like for me, like a lot of the wrestlers are like younger, like 20, 21. And I was 23 at the time, 24. And I was like, man, I'm already behind the curve. So I got to wrestle all the time. Yep. And I was wrestling, fuck man, 5-6 times a week, which I mean, isn't good to a degree, but it also is good. Right. If you're a wrestler, you try to put that 10,000 hours in. And eventually got to the point where like, I was like, I met some, being at IW Mid-South, right? You meet people from the East Coast, you meet people from, you know, from Iowa, from the, you know, Midwest, the South, the North, everybody comes to IW Mid-South. And I think like, I met some people in Ohio named Sammy Callahan, who's the Impact World Champion. Yeah. If anybody doesn't know, it's on Access TV. Not many people have Access TV, but whatever, he's important anyway.
Just take his word for it.
Yeah. And he was like, you know, help me, you know, come train with us for a little bit. And I was like, all right, like might as well. Like it was basically like an internship kind of thing, you know, or being like a roadie if you're in music or whatever. And so that means I had to leave Iowa, which was rough. So I was in Ohio for 10 months in the Dayton area specifically. And it was the hardest times, probably in my whole entire life. I'm not gonna lie to you. It was probably harder than probably being, you know, my first year at Iowa football, which is crazy to say, right? I didn't even think about that. Just because I was always on the road, so I was always thinking about shit, and then, you know, personal life kind of sucked, and then that's kind of where the Corn Belt Cowboy came from, right? Like so I guess backstory on that is like, everybody knows who Mal Kinnick is, yep. Right? He's the GOAT, right? He's literally Iowa football. And his nickname back in the day was the Corn Belt Comet. And I was like, God, dude, that's so sick, right? It's alliteration.
It's
the whole nine
everything
yards.
You want to name. Like, yep.
Yeah, everything you want to name. And like, and you guys know this, like, I feel like back in the day, man, like in the Babe Ruth days, and that's kind of Mal Kinnick days, everybody had super sick, badass nicknames. Yeah. And I was like, man, this Hawkeye thing isn't getting over. Like, it was getting over, but it was just like, there's something there, but there's something missing kind of thing. And I think Merrick at the time, Merrick Brave, he's the other guy, the other part of the Black and the Brave. He was telling me that, you know, hey man, like you're only sharing the 4 to 5 years of your life that you've lived, right? How about you share the whole 20 with it? And I was like, all right, there's something there, right? And then this whole Corn Belt thing, I was like, man, there's something there to it, but I can't be called the Comet, right? Because it's already been taken, and that doesn't fit me at all, right? I don't look like a Comet.
Definitely ain't that fast.
Fucking Boulder, man. I think just that, and just like you're like thinking of extra layers, like Stone Cold's nicknames, is besides just being Stone Cold, was the Texas Rattlesnake, the Bionic Redneck, or, you know, yep. Et cetera. Mm-hmm. And then I think just driving a lot and hitting the roads, and like, you're like, you know, you think of like what Iowa culture is, and like, what are you too? Like, I love Lynyrd Skynyrd. I'm kind of a redneck too, or I guess that blue collar mentality kind of kid too. Right. And then, you know, John Wayne's from fucking Iowa. Who's like the greatest Western cowboy Hollywood ever. Yep. And then literally Buffalo Bill is from LeClaire, Iowa, which is like in my county in Davenport area. Yep. And then just like, he was a real cowboy, right? He was I think just all that. And then, I watched The Star Is Born. Yeah. I watched The Star Is Born. And there's this guy named Cody Johnson, who's a huge country music dude that I love. And it just like all like hit me in the face. And I was like, that's it. It's the fucking Corn Belt Cowboy. And then you just roll off with it, right? And then just like your experiences. And then I think when that happened, which was January of 2019. So like
about a year ago.
Brand new end of the year. Yeah. Yeah, about a year ago now. And I was like, all right, man, I'm going to do this. I'm going to hit another highway, another town, hit these roads harder than ever. I moved back to Iowa around like May, which was the greatest decision ever. Yep. No offense to Ohio, but it was just – My heart wasn't there after a while. And dude, it just like gained steam. Like everybody was like, man, who's this? Like, I mean, in the wrestling scene, I'm kind of like a larger figure, like a larger guy. And like, they were like, who's this fucking cowboy with the goddamn handlebar mustache running around, setting up rings, tearing them down. And he's not even like on the show. And then it just like, was like, all right, let's throw the bone to him. And like, you know, when opportunity knocks, you either fucking swing for the fences or you don't. Or whatever, and just, you know, being on the road a lot, right? You always think of like, okay, like what's my move set? If I was in this situation, what do I do? And it was just like all those experiences, like being trained by Seth and Merrick Brave and Sammy, and it was just like, just do it. And then you just like, you know, it's like what was like one of the things that Coach Parents always talked about? I always talked about building a solid foundation, brick by brick, investing in the money. It was literally the same concept, and it just kept building and building and building, and then. These opportunities, you just keep killing it, and you keep killing it, and then you gain steam. And then I think we'll fast forward to August of this past year, and I was in the Southern tournament where it was called the Actions SCI Future Showcase, and it was in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And the guy that won it the year prior is on AEW now, Marco Stunt. Yeah, if you want to look him up, he's pretty cool. Marco's a good dude, but.
But you'd beat the shit out of him.
Well, no. He wasn't in the tournament. He just won the year prior, right? Like
I don't care.
I'm just saying, like the tournament means something, right? Yeah. Like it gives clout.
It's another stepping stone.
Yeah, it was another stepping stone, and then like that was like a coming out party for me, you know, being on IWTV, which is like a streaming service for independent wrestling, and just absolutely killing it, and winning the whole thing, and then like that was another stepping stone, which gained some serious steam, and then. When October hit, right, that's when AEW kind of came on TNT, and that's kind of like a lot of the indie guys kind of left. So there's a lot of, you know, opportunities filled, you know, open. So you're like, all right, here's another one, swing for the fences. And you just keep building and keep building it. So because there's opportunities like that, you just got to kill it or you don't. And I kept killing it. And then probably when October hit, like all of a sudden, all these top bookings just were like filled. They're like, hey, you want to come here? And then you just keep killing, you keep killing. You're like, God, dude, this guy's like really good. I'm not trying to blow smoke on my ass, but like, you know, eventually it built into, you know, wrestling dudes like Homicide and fucking Nick Gage and, you know, being rookie of the year. So that was kind of cool.
So now we've caught up and now it's January of 2020.
Yeah.
Yep. And we're going to talk future and what is to come for the one called Manders, but, and the Corn Belt Cowboy. But
some cool stuff.
What is it sounds like, and I think this is a good lesson for any of those.
I think Manders just taught a lot of good lessons.
That's what I'm saying.
I was just picking up on life lessons.
Yeah. A lot of life lessons I learned this past year, man.
Nowadays, it's so easy to quit, right? It's so easy to quit. You see it all the time. You see it, guys transfer. The transfer portal is just deeper than ever nowadays in college football, relating it back to sports. So many guys go 1, 2, 3 years, they don't get playing time, similar to what happened with you. And staying in that same football world, they quit on one team and they go and try it with another team where there's maybe, you know, there's not a guy in that they have to battle with. They don't have to deal with hardship. They don't have to compete, and they just go take the easy way out. And it sounds like, I mean, you mentioned it. You're going around to these shows. You're not even in the show. You're just helping set up the ring, tear it down, basically just grinding your ass off, putting in work for no money. What is it? Nothing. What is it to you? Why talk about just putting in the work and why you think you have that like we kind of talked about it, that grit behind you, and you're able to just go put in the work with nothing promised. And it sounds like to me you've bet on yourself harder than anyone else would bet on you. Or
walk on mentality, like, baby.
Like, what is that?
Like, walk on mentality.
You just
heart don't have stars.
Is it just that you believe in yourself that much?
Yeah, I think like, I mean, think about it, right? I'm kind of crazy, like to a degree, right? Like,
well,
I was kind of a kid from Maryland that no promises at all whatsoever, and you can go play for Iowa football. And like, I mean, I knew what Iowa football was, right? Because I loved football, of course. So like, I knew like what Hawkeye football was, but like I remember when I was like, was coming over to Iowa, like people would tell me, oh, like, you know, have fun in Ohio. And I'm like, it's not fucking Ohio, or vice versa. Right. Like just blew my mind. Or like, I remember just being in like, you know, Iowa campuses and like people being like, oh, where are you from? And I say Maryland. They're like, oh, Massachusetts. I'm like, God damn it. No, not the same. But like, I don't know, like
mouth breathers I was talking about, Steve.
Yeah, I see those guys or see those people every day. It kind of blows my mind at work. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I was always a dreamer. And like, you also got to, when you dream like that, you got to do. And it's funny. Like, my mom told me one time, like, I don't think like you went to Iowa because of football. I think it was something bigger, whether it's wrestling or whether it's not. It's just
finding your way.
I think that's just like, it's the mold here, right? It's the Midwest mold. It's the Hawkeye way. Like you just bet on yourself, right? And you know, if you can do it, anybody can, right? That's kind of how I felt. Like, I was like, man, I can do this. I can, you know, I played Hawkeye football, I did this, I did that, I think I could be in this ring. I see the guys on TV. Oh, you just make yourself a believer, and you just be confident in what you do, and
you grind.
And you grind. I guess as simple as that.
I mean, the most important is that you got to put in your time.
And
you just got to put in your time, and that's like the key to life. I feel like that goes beyond sports, goes beyond wrestling. It's business. Like that's what you do. Like guys that make millions, they don't make millions because they just. I guess you get a couple of them, right? Like you get some guys that. Because their dad or mom or whoever makes millions. But, you know, those millionaires, it's not easy for them either. You know, they started at the bottom. So
here we sit January 12th, 2020, a whole new decade to that sits in front of us. And what is next for the Corn Belt Cowboy? Where do we go from here?
So now, like, I feel like it's like, you kind of put all the easy work in, if that makes any sense. Sure. And now it's like, all right, now all the lights are on you now.
Cause every,
all the eyes are on.
Cause it's like anything else. Every time you take another step up from here, the situation is just bigger and bigger, right? It's just another.
Yeah. It's true. Like, it's funny now, like a lot of the guys, like they, you know, a lot of the guys saw like, you know, all right, this kid like put his time in. Okay. Now, since he put his time in, let's see how good he really is.
Right.
And like I get a lot of people now, like a lot of the guys that have seen a lot of stuff in pro wrestling that have kind of like been there for 10 years or whatever. And I don't mean like dudes that are 10 years that were on the indies. I mean 10 years like guys used to be in WWE and now they're on the indies or they've been to Japan or whatever. And they're like, I want to wrestle this kid because I want to see how good he really is. So like now it's kind of like, all right, it's kind of like the old, you know, Coach Ferentz talk where he would say,
They're sizing you up, bro.
Yeah, they're sizing you up, and it's kind of like it's not what you do to get here; it's what you do now when you get here, kind of thing. Like that kind of.
Sure.
I remember him saying that all the time, and I was like, "God damn, he's right." because you can have guys that are five-star recruits or you can have guys that are walk-ons, right? At the end of the day, everybody's at this destination. And now it's, all right, what do you do? What do you do going forward? So I think that's what, you know, for 2020 for me. There's some cool shit coming. I can't really say on here. I might say maybe after the podcast.
Cool.
But let's just say there's a big company that wants to give me a chance. So that'd be kind of cool. Yeah.
That's really
Here's what I got for you in 2020, Steve. Win your fist fights.
Win your fist fights. Well, Steve, there's going to be a lot of people on the that didn't make it to this point listening to this episode because, you know, wrestling is like, it's a specific thing. And I could talk it all day. For those who did make it to this point in the episode, I think they got some good life lessons on how to persevere, how to believe.
Yeah, I just don't know where they would have gotten bored at, because it wasn't like Manders was taking us through the intricacies of what wrestling is. He was teaching a couple life lessons along his story.
I hope that everyone listens to this whole thing, and I know a lot of people will. It's been fun to follow you, Steve. I know that this is only the beginning. I think Drake and I are fully behind you, and at this point, listening to you talk about it, you obviously clearly have a passion for it, and I'm excited to see where you go. It's been great to have you on. 70 minutes worth of talking here. And finally got the Corn Belt Cowboy on the Wash Up Walk-Ons podcast. So it was awesome to have you, man.
Dude, no, thank you for having me. I mean, I've been following you guys since day one, right? Like, I mean, I remember when the first podcast was happening.
Absolutely. We don't even got to bring the first ones up. We don't even got to remember or remind people that there's first ones to go.
Those first podcasts are pretty similar to those county fair wrestling rings.
Oh God. But I remember, man, like every Thursday, I think it was every Thursday, when I would drive to IW Mid-South, I would put on the Washed Up Walk-Ons, and then it would help me in my 2-hour drive or whatever when I was living in
Dayton. Yeah, that's what we're trying to do, man. We're just here to try and help the people.
Yep.
Yeah, man. That's what we're all doing. So
hey.
I love it.
Another highway, another town, baby.
Another highway, another town, baby.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks, everybody, for listening. As always, rate the podcast if you can. Leave us a review. Tell us what you think on Twitter. It's at @1_Manders.
Yep, that's
it. On Twitter, Instagram, search Steve Manders. He's blowing up for Drake Kevin, who's probably already bought some alcoholic drink on Striker's credit card, and myself. That is episode 80 of the Wash Up Walk-Ons. Thank you guys for listening. Walk-Ons out. Peace.
I'm MJ Acosta Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo. We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts. And be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram, too.